going to read some scriptures that we read a lot of times and we apply it to one area of life, and the Lord has taken those very same scriptures and impressed my mind in a completely different direction with it. So I would really appreciate your prayers this morning. We won't turn there, but it says in Mark 16:15, we call this the Great Commission. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I believe we've got that phrase right over the door back there. And that really is our job while we're here. This is not something that was exclusive to the 12 disciples. It wasn't exclusive to the 70 that was appointed to help with everything and the disciples. It's something that applies to everyone. We are all, as you know, we talked about this in the Sunday school, we all are ministers of the gospel in some way or another. If you're a mother this morning, you're a minister. If you're a father, you're a minister. If you're a neighbor, you're a minister. You have, it really, even you think about somebody like John that was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, he was a minister too. But maybe he didn't feel like it at the time, but the Lord inspired him with the revelation and he wrote it down, and that's still benefiting us today in a very great way. So he was a minister of the gospel for Jesus Christ. He didn't just sit and, you know, he could have said, you know, I have all this time on this island and I'm going to study to become, I want to learn all about how everything works and everything. And you know, the Lord allows us to do some of that, doesn't he? But the Lord used John even though he was exiled and he couldn't speak directly with anyone. So that is what I have been thinking about, and the Lord has been impressing on me lately. You know, the last two Sundays, the messages that the Lord gave me were along the same line. Last Sunday, we talked about not defrauding anyone and how important it is if we're going to be lights to the world, if we're going to be ministers and take people the gospel, it's a lot more effective if we're not preaching the gospel to somebody and our hand is in their pocket at the same time. It puts a reproach, a stain. If we go and we are fair and we're honest and we're charitable and all of our dealings, we don't defraud anybody in any way. So we talked about that last time. And then the time before that, I believe the Lord gave me a message about real life versus artificial life. And you know, if we're going to impart the gospel to other people, we don't really have anything of ourselves to impart. It's not my gospel, and it's not yours either. But it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't have any grace to give you. I don't have any victory to give you. All I can do is point people to Jesus Christ. And if I have something that, you know, it's really pretty important that if I'm going to point people toward the true source of light, I need to be connected with it myself. I need to have the light within myself. And so I believe the Lord wants us to examine this idea of reaching people, because that's what we're here for. That's really what we're here for. There's a scripture that in Daniel, and I'll just go ahead and read it. But I've been mulling over this scripture for a couple years now. He said, and it's talking about, if you read, it's talking about the end of time. But in the 12th chapter of Daniel, in the 3rd verse, it says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." And I'm thinking that this is really what a life given to turning people to righteousness looks from eternity's perspective. Because I believe that there's a record of everything that we do and everywhere that we have influence and where it goes and everything that's done because of what somebody else did. You know, I think it was Brother Kimball. Brother Kimball was a minister when I was a boy. He passed away years ago, but I believe he when he was a boy, they would have tent meetings in his area there, and he was just one of the neighborhood boys, and he would peek through the bushes and look, and people took an interest in him, and people showed him love and kindness, and the Lord used him greatly. Brother Michael Williamson, he was, I believe, when he was a boy, people took him to Sunday school. And he was just there. He didn't really know a lot about God. And the Lord greatly used him. He was a pillar and a mentor in my life. And I want to be that to, I want to be that to other people. You know, we can all be that. And I believe this scripture, it says, they that turn many to righteousness, as the, they're going to shine as the stars forever and ever. And I just get a picture of how far the light from those stars reaches. It goes, and it doesn't just, when you look at the stars, it doesn't just shine from the star to you. It's shining its light all around it. And everything that's the same distance to that star as the earth is, has that same view, doesn't it? And so the stars have a great amount of influence or presence that they cover. You can see that star from millions and millions of miles away in every direction. And I believe that this scripture is talking about the perspective, the eternal perspective of our lives. They that turn many to righteousness. It doesn't just say, you know, the first part of the scripture says, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. But then it says, they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. So I'm really interested in looking at this thought of turning many to righteousness. I want to do that in my life. I want for people to be affected in a positive way from my interaction with them. I want my children to be affected. I want my wife to be affected. I want my neighbors to be affected. I want the people that I work with to be affected. I want my customers to be affected. I want the people at the store and at the restaurant to be affected. I want my light to shine. And so to do that, we talked about a couple things, but this is the one I want to talk about this morning by the help of the Lord. In John 12 and 24, Jesus, he was really talking about himself here, but he was talking about what he was going to have to do. People didn't understand. His own disciples didn't understand when he talked to him and said, you know, the people, they're going to kill me. And after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. They're going to take the Son of Man and they're going to kill him. And Peter one time rebuked him. Can you think of rebuking Jesus? What? You'd have to have a lot of nerve to do that. And Peter, he was that personality, and he thought that just sounded ridiculous. He said, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not happen to thee." And Jesus said, "You're an offense to me." He said, "Get behind me, Satan." I don't believe that he was insulting Peter or even calling Peter Satan, but he said that idea, it's not just incorrect, but that's the whole idea that the devil wants us to have, is that we're here to serve ourselves and we're here to prosper in a material way. We're not here for that. We're here to do the will of God. We're here to accomplish great things for Him. We're here to make a positive difference in other people's lives and to shine all around us in all kinds of ways. John 12 and 24, Jesus was talking about, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So I know that he was talking about himself and why he was going to do what he was going to do. He was trying to explain that you're not fulfilled, you don't bring forth fruit by preserving everything that feels good to you. You don't keep yourself intact first. You give yourself, you sacrifice, you lay down your own way, you lay down your own desires, and that's what's going to bring the results. You know, I was reading about corn, and a kernel of corn, just one kernel of corn, is not much, is it? And it kind of looks pretty. I've seen corn that is of different colors. And if you, let's just personify a kernel of corn for a minute. If that kernel of corn were to say, you know, I'm beautiful. I don't want to die. I don't want to decompose. I want to be just like I am. I want to keep myself just the way that looks good and appears good. And I'm just going to stick myself here on a shelf. You know that kernel of corn, Jesus said it abides alone. You've seen probably maybe in like Baker Creek Seed Magazine or something, these different kinds of corn, and they have, it looks like not all the colors of the rainbow, but purple and blue and black and gold and red and all these things. You know, you can say that corn looks so pretty, and I'm just gonna keep that corn up on a shelf. I don't want anything to happen to it. But Jesus said the way that it brings forth much fruit is for that corn to go in the ground. And when it goes in the ground, it becomes not beautiful. It loses the skin, rots away, and the things that are inside it, they decompose. But then there's this viable part of it that starts to grow. And then a stalk comes up, and you know, on one ear of corn, an ear of corn contains between 500 and 1,200 kernels. Average is about 800 kernels on a kernel of corn, on an ear of corn. One ear of corn, about 800 kernels. It says if it die, it brings forth much fruit. If it doesn't die, it's not going to bring forth any fruit at all. And that's the same way with you and I. If we go through life, and we're just concerned about what makes us happy and what fulfills us and how we're going to prosper and how we're going to thrive and what feels good to me at the time, you know, we're not going to do anything that's worth anything to the Lord. I remember hiring, well, I was on a job for my dad, and we called in some temp labor from a temporary labor agency there in Philadelphia. And these guys, there were four guys that showed up. And I had things that I wanted them to do. They had things that they wanted to do too. But I really, because they were working for me, I really wasn't concerned about what they were wanting to do. That's what you do after you go home and you get your paycheck. You go home, you can do what you want to do. When you're on the job, you're working for me, and every minute that you work for me, money comes out of my pocket. You're going to do what I want you to do. And so they liked to sweep the floor. They really liked to sweep the floor. I didn't care about sweeping the floor because we were making a big mess. You sweep the floor when the job's done or at the end of the day or something. And so I would give them instructions, and they might start doing what I wanted them to do. And then I would go over here and do something else. And when I would come back, here's a broom. They found a broom. They're sweeping the floor. They wanted to be busy because they didn't want to be put off the job. You know, it probably wouldn't have worked for them to just sit down. They knew that if they sat down and started playing with their phone, then they'd be out of there. But they started doing busy work. It was work that felt good to them. And maybe it helped them to feel like I'm doing something. I am doing something for my boss. I'm sweeping the floor. And I'm just going to keep sweeping the floor. And I finally told him, I said, guys, I don't want you to sweep the floor. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. And then they would come to something. Maybe they didn't know what to do or how to do it. Well, I wanted them to come and seek for me and ask me how to do stuff they didn't understand how to do. But they never would do it. And so after a while, about 11 o'clock or noon, I got them all together and I said, guys, I'm going to let all four of you go. And one of them looked at me like I was crazy and said, this is ridiculous. Why are you letting us go? We've only been here a few hours. We got to work. We got to make money. And I said, I don't need you. I don't need you anymore. And so I let them go. You know, when we're working for the Lord, there's a lot of things that we can do and we can feel good about what we're doing. But you know what the key is to do the will of the Lord. Because all of us have a distinct, defined purpose in life. We have a job that the Lord created us to do. All of us. My job isn't your job, and your job isn't my job. And you have qualifications that I don't, and I may have qualifications that you don't. And you have people that you can reach, and I have people that I can reach. We all have, and we're talking about this in the Sunday school, we have a sphere of influence that is unique to us. And the Lord gave us jobs, but what if I was to come in, I've used this example before, but what if I was to go become part of a new congregation somewhere, and I walked in and I said, okay, I'm here to help. I'm here to make a difference here in this congregation. I'm here to make a difference. And you know, I've noticed that this chapel's beautiful, but you've got your attic. It looks awful. And so the first thing I'm going to do here to make a difference is I'm going to panel out the attic where it looks just like the sanctuary. I'm going to put trim in there. I'm going to put some good lighting and all of this stuff. You know, it would take us a long time maybe, and we'd be busy and somebody would ask, you know, I wish you'd do this over here. Well, I wish I could, but I've got this that I'm doing. I'm staying busy. You know that if we're not careful, we can look around, we can say, well, I know the Lord wants us to do stuff. And so I'm going to fill my time with this and this and this. And it feels good and it's not difficult. And I even get some recognition out of the deal. But it's not the will of God. Maybe God wants us to do this over here. So, Mark 10:45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And so when we're, you know, I just want you to get a hold of this morning. We are not here to please ourselves. We are not here to fulfill ourselves. Whether you're a mother or a father or a neighbor or a worker, you're not here to make yourself fulfilled. The Lord, in His mercy and His love, has made a way for us. If we do His will, that will be the happiest that you will be. That will be the most fulfilled that you can be. You can never create your own fulfillment. You can never create your own happiness. You can never create your own lasting enjoyment in life. The only way that you're going to be happy and fulfilled in life is if you die. All right? I'm not talking about in a physical sense. I'm talking about if you die to your own desires, your own preferences, your own wants, and you say, I'm working for Jesus. That means that you're going to give up things that you want to do, that your flesh wants to do. That means that a lot of times you're going to sacrifice your time for others. You're going to go and you're going to say things to people that are maybe difficult. Maybe if you might be witnessing to them about Jesus, or you might even be coming against something sometimes and the Lord inspires you to do something. May the Lord help us to know how to do that. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, he said, "And what know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I want to tie this in with another verse in John 15. We already read there once, but the Lord Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. I think a lot of times we think about the concept of bearing fruit like it's the righteousness. I'll be more patient and I'll be more kind and I'll be more loving and all of those things. Those things are good. And those are fruits of righteousness. But you know, I believe that there's more contained in this idea than that. Jesus was talking, again, I'll mention this. Jesus was talking about what he was going to go to the cross and die. He said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. He was going to die so that he could impart life to millions of people down through time. His death was going to bring forth much fruit. And that was souls. It was other people. It was going to benefit the whole world. He was the Lamb of God. And he said, this is how I want you to do it too. He said in 1 Peter 4:1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. You know, we can think sometimes of the scripture, herein is my Father glorified, that you bring forth much fruit. And we can just think about it in the terms of well, I'm just going to get more and more righteous and more, you know, patient and kind and all that. But I believe that bringing forth much fruit also includes the idea that I'm going to turn many to righteousness. I'm going to be an influence to others. I'm going to make a positive difference because we are the hands and the feet of God in this world. It said, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. If Jesus is going to shine to people, he does it through you and through me. And so, yes, we need to concentrate and we need to make sure that we have the light within ourselves. But if we just kind of keep it to ourselves and we see how good we can get, we see how much self-control we can have and all that, those things are good things, but we need to impart our influence to others. We need to ask God how to do that. There's a scripture talking about widows in 1 Timothy 5:6. It says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. You know, I work in so many people's houses. And I talk to people about what they do and I see how people live. You know, we can get wrapped up in hobbies and things. A lot of times when people retire, they have a lot of time on their hands. And so they set out chasing what they've always wanted to do in life. And they say, follow your heart. Do what makes you happy. Do what you've always wanted to do. And so they get these hobbies and they can go and have so much, whether it, you know, there's, I don't believe, I love to fish. I love to go fishing. There's nothing, I don't believe that there's anything wrong with fishing, but you know, I could go and I could have all the, and I've seen people that have had this, spend literally hundreds of thousands of dollars and so many hours of their time on that hobby. Or hunting, or coin collecting, or any of those things. Maybe it's a real nice car. I've seen people that their car was so, it meant so much to them, and they would spend hours and hours and hours polishing it and keeping it so immaculate. And it's just a car. And you know, fishing's fun, but it's just fishing. It's enjoyable. It's something that I enjoy doing it. I enjoy doing it. I enjoy hunting. I've had different interests in life, but if we're not careful, let's just be careful that those things don't take the place of doing the will of God in our lives. That it doesn't rob us. We only have one life. And then it's going to be passing short. And the Lord wants us to turn many to righteousness. He wants us to be an influence. It says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. You know, there's a song, I think it's number 311 in our book. It says, I cannot be idle. No time for repose. My resting shall be over there, where all of the faithful in heaven above a crown of bright glory shall wear. You know, I don't think that this song or the scriptures or anything what I'm saying teaches is trying to say that we can't rest. We need to rest. To be able to properly do the will of God, we need to rest. You know, our families need us. I don't think there's anything wrong at all with taking things like camping trips or a getaway or something like that. We need that. My wife and I just did that this week. It's something that it can help reset you. God allows us to do those things, and I think it's good to do that. But when we get out of focus with it, and if those things, I remarked to my wife just yesterday, I said, you know, this has been really nice. We went down to Georgia for a few days, and we just spent time with each other. I told her, this has been really nice. But I told her, if this was my high point in life, if this was the fulfillment, if this was the epitome of happiness in my life, I would come up pretty empty. I've seen people like that, that all their life consists of is looking forward to the next cruise, or maybe the next new phone, or the next gun, or the next boat, or whatever it is. That's their fulfillment in life. The next thing for me, the next bit of enjoyment, and that's all they're looking forward to. Thank the Lord, He has made it where by doing His will, you know, it's not, heaven's going to be wonderful, but you know, the Lord could have made it where He said, all right, I'm going to give you this reward, but you've got to work for it. You've got to slave. It's going to be awful. And you just be a drudge for me for 70, 80 years. And then you can experience heaven. No, the Lord made it where we can be fulfilled by working for Him right now. And it'll be a way of fulfillment that will be greater than anything that you can come up with on your own. I can speak of this from personal experience. I've tried it the other way. I've tried living for myself. I've tried being selfish and thinking just about myself and doing things. And I want to tell you, it doesn't compare at all with living for the Lord every day. What if I'd like to encourage you to beg the Lord to give you several things. Beg the Lord to give you a burden for other people. Ask the Lord for a burden. Ask the Lord. You know, the Lord can give you a specific burden. I don't think He gives everybody the same burden. But I had the Lord one time visit me in a dream and gave me a dream about a person that was an acquaintance in life. And it opened my eyes to the extremely dangerous position they were in. It was something that it just made it come alive to me. The Lord can help you to understand. You know that everybody that you're around is bound for eternity. Sometimes we tend to forget that when we're at the store or doing business, the people that you work. And another thing, ask the Lord to give you opportunities. Say, Lord, give me an opportunity to be an influence for Your cause today. And just the other day, I was on a job with somebody. I think I mentioned this last Sunday. I was on a job and working, and my customer, we were almost done with the job, and it was getting late, and I needed to be somewhere. And he came and he said, well, where do you worship? So we started talking about church and about God. And then he wanted to get in a conversation about the Bible and about some things. And we had a really good talk. You know, the Lord doesn't always give opportunity like that. But we need to take the opportunities as they come. We can go and I could go to all my customers. I'm with a lot of people. And I could say, well, I just want to know, are you a Christian? And just barge in and start doing life. A lot of times, I would say almost every time, we need to approach it from a different angle. Talk to them about the things that they're interested in. Ask them if they've had a good day. The opportunity might be there for you to pray for them if they're not having a good day or something like that. And I'm always, you know, I'm putting myself in here too. I want the Lord to help me to be better in this area. But a lot of times we can become so focused on how can I make a profit and how can I get the best deal or whatever it is. But the Lord wants us to be as the stars. He wants us to shine and be an influence and turn many to righteousness. You know where that starts? At home. It starts at home. Everybody else in your home, and you too, is going to spend eternity somewhere. Eternity's a long time. You know, I'll tell you what I like to do, and I can't always gauge this, but I like to ask myself, how is this going? How am I affecting my wife? And how am I affecting my children? And what influence am I having on them? And how are they headed? And if I feel like they're headed in a wrong direction, is there anything that I can do to help counteract that? You know that ought to be, I believe that ought to be the number one focus in our lives. The number one priority is how am I living? How am I living for God? But how am I affecting the ones right here around me? How am I affecting my family? It wouldn't do any good for me. You know, I believe the Lord called me to preach. But I could go and I could preach and spend all kinds of time. And if I neglected my own family, I don't believe that would be what the Lord would want me to do. The Lord wants me to be there for my family. And in the last few years, you know, I think that when I was younger, I didn't prioritize that as much. And the Lord has dealt with me in more recent years about doing more of that because my family's important. Your family's important too. May the Lord help us today. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.